Thank you, guys. Well, good morning. How is everybody? I tell you what, we were doing that song, and Steve Bain over there was starting to play this little soul thing on the piano. I don't know if you heard it. But I was like, woo, I could camp there all day. And I'm going to share the word with you this morning, but before I get started, it's really on my heart to pray for Hudson, who's still in the hospital. And I also wanted to include Renee, and I know there are probably many others, but as we were singing that song, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like Hudson's surrounded. It may not have a whole lot of good news to it, but I know that he is surrounded by the Lord. And to go and talk to him, I got to tell y'all, it will knock your socks off, because his body is weak, but his spirit is not. God is giving him dreams. He's giving him words to stand on, and one of them is, no weapon formed against you will prosper. So as you're praying for him, if you can just incorporate that word, because that word, he's standing on it. And I know in my spirit and I know in my heart that God is going to touch him in there. When you walk in that hospital, you know, how many have been to Children's Hospital? You know, first of all, you walk in there and your heart breaks because of all the kids that are on those floors. And, you know, every time that I have been there, every time I have left, I've said, God, I am not just going to pray over him, but I am praying over all of them in the hospital right now, Father God. But what's been so unique to me is, as you walk in the atmosphere, it's very different when you walk into Hudson's room. You tell the difference from the chaos, and sometimes you even feel the fear. And when you walk in that room, you feel a peace in that room. And you feel that fire in his belly. And you know that you know that you know that God is there and that he is surrounding him. So Heavenly Father, we come before you, and I thank you that it may look like we're surrounded, but we are surrounded by you. Hudson is completely and totally surrounded by you. I thank you that no weapon formed against him will prosper. And I thank you in Jesus' name that you will infuse him with strength and joy from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. I thank you, Father God, that even though he is laying in a hospital bed, I thank you that his spirit is very much well and very much healthy and very much doing well. And I thank you for ministering even to the doctors and the nurses that come in and out of that place. Father God, I just thank you right now in Jesus' name for healing over him. And Father, for all of us that are either not feeling well this morning or have relatives in the hospital or have some big things that are going on in our families, I thank you that this is how we fight our battle with the word. We fight our battle in prayer. So Father God, I thank you that by your stripes we are healed. I thank you that we are surrounded by you and the host of heaven. And I thank you that when we say Jesus, all we have to say is that name, and you come yourself. So I thank you for coming into the homes and coming into the rooms of those that need you, Father God. I thank you for salvation. I thank you right now for those that are sick that need salvation, Father God. I thank you they will not leave this planet without knowing who you are. Because this is a time, Father God, that I believe with all my heart you are moving in a way I have not seen in a very, very, very long time. And Father God, I thank you that we can press in, and that yes, we can have our yes and our amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I could pray for an hour. I won't do that to y'all, but I could go there. Good morning. As you know, I'm not from Australia. So our special speaker is not here this morning. And as you know, Larry is ministering elsewhere. So I hope you've all been praying for him. How many watched any of his message from the website? Yeah, I did too. I watched Friday night. It was really, really good. And it was so sweet because he starts talking about Paytonsville, you know, and how God, you know, what God has done. And you're like, oh, yeah. I mean, you get so excited, you know, because he's literally telling people and who's ever watching about our little body in the middle of nowhere, basically, right? And I thought, Father God, that is so sweet. It's just so sweet to be a part of what God is not only doing here, but to be a little part that is spoken of elsewhere. And I know they're asking him. I know they're saying, "Who? What is this little church?" And I know his answer is the best place ever. You know, he loves us and we love him and we love Laura. And I'm just honored that he asked me to speak today. So we're going to turn to Corinthians 3:18. I'm actually going to first read it in the King James Bible. I'll give you time to get there. You got to love it when the pastor's already on four verses later after you finally arrived at the first one, right? 3:18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. I'm going to read that out of the Passion Bible. A lot of times I do that in youth because I want them to get the full meaning of what it is that this verse is saying, because this is powerful. We can all draw close to Him with the veil removed from our faces. And with no veil, we all become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus. We are being transfigured into His very image as we move from one brighter level of glory to another. And this glorious transformation comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. I'm going to read that again. We can all draw close to Him with the veil removed from our faces. With no veil, we all become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus. We are being transfigured into His very image as we move from one brighter level of glory to another. And this glorious transformation comes from the Lord, who is Spirit. The Bible says we can all draw close. Is that just special chosen people? No, that is all of us. The veil removed, we can behold the glory as in a mirror. When you look in the mirror, what do you see? I would love for all, we can spiritually say we all see Jesus. When we look in the mirror, we all see Jesus. But how many know that's not what we see? The enemy does a very good job of telling you what you see, and that it is absolutely nothing mirroring the image of the Lord. But the Bible says we can all draw close, and it says that that veil can be removed. We don't have to come before Him with a whole lot of things. Let's put it this way. He knows everything about you. The good, the bad, and the ugly, right? So why not just come before Him honestly? We don't have to be anything. We can just be who we are. When you look at that word transfigured, when I looked it up in the Greek, the verb is metaphou, I think. I'm not good at Greek, as we know just now. But, yeah, it's Greek to me. It's the same word when Jesus was being transfigured on the mountain. It's that same word. And I'm going to read that verse to you. It's Matthew 17:2. You don't have to look it up. Then Jesus' appearance was dramatically altered. A radiant light as bright as the sun poured from His face. And His clothing became luminescent, dazzling like lightning. He was transfigured before their very eyes. That's what that means. This glorious transformation. We can be transfigured into His very image. Even His clothing changed. From the inside out, everything that they saw and beheld was different. Romans 12:2, this is another verse with that very same meaning. Stop imitating the ideas and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through the total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. Through the power of His Spirit, we can be dramatically changed. How many here have been dramatically changed? How many here even appearance changed when you were saved? Maybe even something as small as how you dressed or what you did. Everything about you begin to shift and change when you ask the Lord into your heart. What's amazing about that is it doesn't stop just with salvation. It says we are all being. We are being. This is a continual process. The more that we get with Jesus and the more that we develop a relationship with the Father, we are being transformed into that image. So if we want to be dramatically changed and transformed into that image, the only way to do it is being with Jesus and being with the Father. It's so simple. We make it so complicated. How do we become more like you? Now, I am going to say something about books, but I am not downing books because many books that I have read have literally had a huge part in my life. But I will say this. If all you are reading is books and you're not reading the Word, you're missing a lot. As a matter of fact, sometimes I will have my Bible open and I'll have the book out. Because as they're saying different verses or meanings, I look it up. Not because I'm not trusting them, but because I want to know for myself, right? And so that is very, very important. So what I'm about to say, I am not dissing this. But what I am saying is, it's so simple that we just need to be more like Jesus. But I think right now we have become so much about our own identity and what we carry and who we are and the gifts that we have that we have forgotten the pursuit that makes us look more like our Father. And what's cool about this is Paul wrote these words in this letter, and I encourage you to read this whole letter. It is so special to me because I feel like God allowed it to be in the Word because I felt like it was part of like a diary or a journal that he was writing. Because in this letter, he writes about his heart, right? He has the thorn, and even though the Bible doesn't describe it, I'm kind of glad that it doesn't describe it because we all have those thorns. We all have those things that are hard to overcome, right? And I love the fact that he didn't describe it because I can put my name in there and say, thank you, God, your grace is sufficient for me. And I can get over this because I have your grace. But at the same time, he also went to Corinthians in this letter, and there were some things that they could go deeper in that they weren't going deeper in. And it was really burning on his heart. He had such an amazing heart for the body and such a father heart. But yet he was so real about who he was. And I love that because how many know that's exactly how we're supposed to be? We can actually be real with each other. Sometimes I think we come in church and we think we have to be perfect. We have to look perfect. We have to say the right thing and do the right thing. But how many know we don't have to be perfect? We're not going to be perfect unless he makes us perfect. We can just be who we are. Amen? And that's what Paul does in this letter. So on a side bunny trail note, please read it. Because it will really, really, really show you his heart and where he was at right then at that time. But it reminds me in just this verse about more. There's so much more in God. There's so much more than we have even touched or tapped. There's so much more of him. And I have found myself lately in this place of, I want it. I want the more. I want to know you deeper. I want to know you more. Even in worship when we sing and when I'm at home writing or when you're doing things, I'm like, I'm doing this, but I know that there's more. And how many know hunger is a gift? Bill Johnson says that, and I love it. Hunger is a gift. When you hit that place where you know there's more and you know you have to have more, feed that place. Feed it with the Word. Feed it with everything that you can feed it. Because God will allow the time if you make the time. You have to make the time. Right now, we know time doesn't just happen. I don't know about you, but I am incredibly busy. I have a full-time job, right? We help with the youth. You know, there's other things that I do for my family. So everybody has stuff, and everybody has stuff that we're doing. But sometimes it's just taking that time to feed that hunger because there's a reason he's drawing you close. There's a reason he has put that in your heart. But anyway, I'm going to go back to talking about the identity because everybody wants to know their identity and everybody wants to know the gifts that they have, right? I know dealing with the young people, which, by the way, you have amazing young people in this church. I have never been a part of a youth group like this in my whole life. These guys not only want to learn, but they could teach themselves. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if in time we have a youth Sunday and you hear some of the stuff that God is doing in them. Just to hear them pray will humble you. For real. We are going to do that. We're getting ready, actually. We're preparing. As a matter of fact, in April, we're having a testimony and teach time. And I asked them, who in here wants to teach in April? And, you know, in youth, you're going to ask youth, who in here wants to teach in April? And maybe you might get one brave hand. No, I had 6 hands and 4 Thursdays. So we bumped that into May because they want to use the gifts that God's given them. They want to learn to teach. Right now we're doing worship in there. They're doing the worship themselves. Hannah's helping lead. We have Mackenzie, who is normally in here, but she's helping in the nursery today. She's singing, and then we have Anna, and even Renee is singing in there. And to me, it's so important that they learn they don't have to wait till they're older. They need to use what they carry now. They need to get ready. That's exactly, and I keep telling them, as things begin to grow, because things are going to begin to grow, when they begin to grow, the 12 that are in there are going to be the leaders for what's going to happen. And we're literally preparing them. I'm like, what are you going to do if we had 30 people come in here that do not know the Lord? Are you going to let that influence what you do in that room and how you worship and how you are with the Father? Or are you going to influence them? Because that's what we're supposed to do, is influence the world. Amen? So, yes, it's important to know the gifts we have. And it's important to grow them. And it's important to learn them. But we can get a little off base. And we can forget, like I said, about the pursuit. You know, when you have your gifts and you have the talents and you have the skills, God wants you to use them and get better at them so that he can use them in a greater way. If I never really worked on singing, he really would have a hard time using me in that capacity. If I never really worked on leading, or I never really worked on harmonies, or I never really worked at it, right? I could have a million prophetic words and not be any closer to that destiny or that purpose because I have not done anything toward it. But just knowing those things and getting better at those things will grow your abilities, but they don't transform your spirit. And I'm talking today about a spirit transformation. I'm talking about going more. I'm talking about inside out being so luminescent with the Lord that it literally changes the appearance of how I function and how I look at things, because my perspective, as Kristen said earlier, is different. I want more than just growing my abilities. I want more than that. I've got to find him. I mean, it's become something in my heart that I have to find him. I have to find more. I had gone to Africa at our other church. We had our worship team and people go over to Africa, and I had gone over there with our worship pastor, and they incorporated us into the services by putting the singers in the choir. Now, y'all, this is not a white choir. This is a very African choir. They don't just sing, they dance and sing. They don't just sing in one language. There's multiple languages. They had given us a recording so that we could try to learn the languages, Afrikaans, all these different languages. Dude, I had such a hard time. I was like, Jesus, I can't do this. I didn't realize that's a really hard place for me to go. So we're over there. We're trying our best to learn the languages and do the dances. I kept, you know, Janet, you'd be so good at this because you could do the dances. You could so pull off the dances in this. I've been, dude, I'm not talking normal, right? Like, they're doing stuff like this. I mean, they're just tribal. It's just very tribal, right, in how they are dancing. And that whole week as we're going, there was these singers that would blow your mind. It makes the TV shows and all of that look ridiculous. These people can sing. And I mean, like, I was like, put me in the back corner of the room. I have absolutely no desire to sing right now. And I mean, all of them. I'm not talking some. I'm talking all of them. And what was so fun about it, you'd be just sitting there talking, and the next thing you know, somebody would break into some sort of a song, and they all seemed to know it. So everybody seemed to go there, you know, and that part was fun for me. But all week long, the challenge was, I was like, Lord Jesus, I'm just having a hard time. And they're like, we would like you to do a solo, and we're going to have you split with this other young lady. Now, this young lady, I'm telling you, y'all, she was amazing. She was kind of a mix between Mariah Carey and Whitney Houston. I mean, this girl, and she was little. She was like all of about like a size 3, maybe 5 feet tall, just like a little thing. But, dude, what came out of her was just amazing. So that week, we had to work together on singing this song and getting ready for the last night. And as we're working on it and we're working toward it, we never really got an opportunity to talk that much, you know. She was young. She was 18 years old. You know, and when you're 18, sometimes you have a little cockiness going on, just a little bit, you know, especially if you know you're really good at something, you know. And so she was always surrounded by her friends and all of that. But I'm going to fast forward. We sing the song, and the Holy Ghost just hits that song, just like hits the room in that song. And it was such a relief for me because I was like, Lord, you got to cover this whole song because I can't even. But they let us start in English, and then we had to finish, you know, in this other language. And it's one thing when you're with a choir, but when you're alone doing a solo part, you got it. And they know the language, You know, I mean, it was like, Jesus, you have to help. And God was amazing. He hit that song. And afterwards, it was the last night, and afterwards, you know, we're saying our goodbyes or whatever, and she comes up to me, and she's got these big tears in her eyes. And she says, I want to know why. Why, when you sing, it's different than when I sing. I don't understand why. And I'm not bragging on myself at all, y'all. I hit so many off notes and whatever, it wasn't even funny. But what she was looking for was that presence. What she wanted was the anointing. She knew how to sing. She knew how to use those gifts and abilities. What she did not know how was how to hit that place with the Lord. And I have to say, I was reading some of Deborah this week, and I was like, Father God, when they came in and they actually claimed the promised land, and they claimed it, and though that generation ushered that in, they were ready to go. They had to wait for everybody else to die off. They were ready to go. They go, they obey the Lord. Joshua takes them in. They take the land. Joshua dies, and it's gone. It's gone. They revert to the idols. They revert back. And in Judges, they have these judges, and when the judges were alive, it was great. Everybody was following the Lord. When the judges would die off, they would revert back. And I'm like, God, help us teach a generation. Help us pour into a generation. Help us pour into the next generation so that does not happen. I believe part of the new of what God is doing is with mothers and fathers. And I got to tell y'all, they're rare in these days. Because rare is it to find someone that is willing to pour out and in and not be up here and maybe be the limelight person. It's a rare thing, but God is doing it. He's doing it, and I see them in here. I see aunts and uncles, and I see mothers and fathers, and I see grandparents that are to pour into this next generation because they do not have to walk what you walked. They don't have to go there. We don't have to revert back, right? Amen. So when we got all done, I just gave her a big hug, and I'm like, man, this is the last day, you know, but I got her email address and her Facebook thing just to be able to talk and share with her, you know, which was amazing. But when we were talking, I said to her, I said, you can work on your abilities and grow those, but what's interesting is if you really want more of Jesus and you want that through you, it's going to take less of yourself. That's what the Bible says. More of you and less of me. John 3:30 says, he must become greater so that I can become less. Matthew 16:25, in order to really find your life, you're actually going to have to lose your life. But how many know it's hard to fill a vessel that's already full? Especially if it's full of yourself. You can add water to the top of a muddy glass, but it's still going to remain muddy unless you continue to pour that pure water in that glass enough to wash out all the mud and all the gunk from inside that glass, right? And I have found myself going, I have been saved since I was 6 years old. I have felt like Samuel in the church. I grew up in the church. I love it. I love the body. I love its people. My father loved the church, and he really instilled that in all of us because when I grew up, we grew up on the road, and we traveled in many different churches as evangelists. So we were singing from anything from Pentecostal to Lutheran to Baptist. We even did some Catholic masses, believe it or not, when we were traveling. And my dad would always say, you know, I want you to watch and look at the people in their heart more than what they're necessarily doing, you know, which is so true, you know. But what's cool about that is my dad would always say, no matter what church you're singing in, no matter what you do, make him the pursuit of your life. Make Jesus the pursuit of your life because you're going to see a whole lot of things and you're going to experience a whole lot of things. But as long as Jesus is the pursuit of your life, you're going to be okay. Well, I was reminded about that on this past Wednesday night. We had gone into some prophetic worship, and it was just awesome. And what kept going through my heart the whole time was release the sound. Release the sound, you know. And I kept saying, what sound? what sound that you want me to release? And then I kept hearing pure sound, the purified worship sound, that sound that comes from a heart that is completely and fully poured out to the Lord. That kind of sound, that sound that sometimes sounds like tears and crying, sometimes it sounds like laughing, sometimes it sounds like deep groaning, that pure sound. I want you to remember that pure, purified sound, that first love kind of sound. And I thought, Lord, I mean, over the course of my life, yeah, I mean, we have to remind ourselves that, but have I forgot that sound? We are in a church where we are free to worship with that kind of sound. We can worship fully, wholeheartedly. Ray Hughes has a saying, and he says, wholehearted worship is very rare, but it's never crowded, but it does cost you something. And I thought, Lord, it does. Sometimes it costs you time. Sometimes it costs you pride. When is the last time you poured yourself out? You just completely, abandonedly poured yourself out in worship before the Lord. You didn't care about what time it was. You didn't have any inkling of what was going on around. You didn't care if you missed your favorite TV show. You didn't care if you had to cancel that dinner or that lunch. That's the sound he's looking for. Because like I said, it's built, the relationship with Jesus, that kind of building of a relationship is where you're going to go from glory to glory to glory to glory. It doesn't just fall on you. It takes effort, and it takes you at his feet to find that place. And y'all, he is waiting right there. He is waiting right there for that kind of sound. When I was 16 years old, I was doing a lot of different demos and things like that. And my hope was, you know, eventually to come down here to Nashville and then record and get into the Christian music industry. And the guy that was working with us on doing these demos had my demo, and he came down here to Nashville. We lived in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Oh, I'm sorry. We lived in Ohio at the time. And when he came down here, he didn't just shop it to the Christian labels. He ended up shopping it to the secular labels. And one of those labels at the time was RCA. And when he shopped it, there was a particular song that I wrote, and it was a love song to the Lord, but they heard it as a love song that could have just been played for everything. And so they got with him, and long story short, they called my house. Now, mind you, my parents were pastoring at the time. And they called our house, and they wanted to set up a meeting with me because they were like, hey, she's 16. This is going to be amazing. You know, we want her to come down. She writes. She sings. Blah, blah, blah. Well, my dad hangs up the phone, and he tells me this, and I can't even tell you how excited I was. Because I'm like, this is great. I'm going to be like Esther. I'm going to go in, and I'm going to bring Jesus to that secular community, and I'm just going to be God, and I'm just going to do all this stuff for the Lord. This is going to be so amazing. My mom, on the other hand, didn't say anything for like, I don't know, 2 minutes. Because in her mind, she's like, I'm not sending my 16-year-old to Nashville, Tennessee, to RCA Records to do love songs. That's not my heart. My dad, being incredibly wise, said, Linda, this is a decision that we're going to let her make. And I'm thinking, yes, because I know the answer is going to be yes. I have no doubt the answer is going to be yes. This is what I've been called to do. I've been prophesied over since I was young. This is my time. Yes, I'm so excited. And my mom, I'm telling you, I know my mom. She probably went to her room and prayed. I don't know. She never said anything. But my dad's like, but you have to do one thing for me, Tammy. I want you to go to your room, and I really want you to seek the Lord on whether to say yes or not. And then I want you to let me know what he says. Well, I'm like, sure, that's no big deal. Got it. Got you covered, Dad. I'll be back down in about 5 minutes. This is going to be a piece of cake. So I go up in my room, and I dance around my room. I mean, I was so pumped, right? I'm just like, yes, this is going to be just so amazing. Yeah, okay. So I sit in my bed. I get my Bible out. I'm like, yes, Lord, so do you want me to go to Nashville to, like, record for you and bring your name across the country, you know? Do you want me to do this kind of thing or whatever? And I started to feel a little funny in my spirit. And I thought it's nerves. The reality of this is sinking in now. That's what it is. It's sinking in. I'm getting nervous. It hasn't even happened yet. It's going to be fine. I'll have to fly, but my dad will be with me. It'll be okay. You know, it's going to be fine. It's going to be just absolutely fine. And the feeling didn't go away. So I thought, okay, Lord, I'm going to officially really ask. I'm going to say, Jesus, do you want me to go to Nashville and record this for you? Amen. You know, kind of thing. And I still felt really not so good. And I'm like, it can't be the Holy Spirit. It can't be that. It's got to be something else. Like, seriously? So I did what every 16-year-old might do. I took my Bible and said, okay, I know you're going to give me a word. So I'm going to open the Bible, put my finger in it, and you're going to tell me exactly what it's going to say. And I'm thinking, how many positive, amazing verses are in the Bible that are going to tell me what I'm going to do for God, right? So I flip it over, put my hand down, look down. You will have no other gods before me. Huh? It's not a god. Like, I've not put that in front of you. I mean, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do, right? So I'm going to do it again. So I close the Bible up, open it back up, put my finger down, and it says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And I started to cry because I knew that feeling in my spirit. And I knew it was the Holy Spirit saying, no, that's not what I have for you. See, there was a little clause on the bottom that I would have had to sign. And it said that if I signed there, we would do a one-song demo that they'd put out on the radio first. And if that went well, then we would do a whole album project. But what I would have had to sign at the very end said that I was not allowed to do any gospel whatsoever, or any rock and roll whatsoever, which that wasn't a problem, and that I could only sing country music. And I just thought, well, God will use me incognito. But the Holy Spirit knew at 16 years old, I wasn't ready for that. I know now God protected my heart, and he protected who I was, because he's just that kind of way. And it's that kind of relational God. It's the God that when you say, I think I know what's good for me. I think I know, you know, what I want to do for you and how I want to do it for you. And then we come up with all these things and we can make all the prophetic words fit all of these things that we think that he's called us to do. And all he wants is us to pursue his heart. See, he'll open the right doors when you're pursuing his heart. You don't have to hunt for them. It's not hard. There's the things that God has opened up for me to do have been so easy and so much fun. It's been amazing, but keeping him the pursuit of my heart. And this past Wednesday, like I said, I was like, well, God, I don't want to lose that. Because yes, spiritual gift tests are amazing. And rereading the prophetic words that you have are encouraging. It's amazing. That's fine. But if I'm doing that more than I'm pursuing you, if everything I think about during the day is all about me and nothing about you, I am not going to move into anything of what you have. As a matter of fact, you can tell, because what starts to happen is you get critical. And when you walk into church, pretty soon you're critical. You're critical of how the worship goes. You're critical about, you wouldn't call it critical. You would call it seeing something. Or you would call it, I felt this in there today. But that's what happens, because now you've internalized everything. Why aren't I singing? How come I'm not speaking? What is up, God? I don't understand. Why am I in the same place that I've been in for umpteen years? I should be moving forward. All of that is nothing but your flesh. I know, because I do it myself. We're all guilty of it. We are all human beings, like Paul said. But thank God that grace, my grace, is sufficient for me. And I kept thinking of Mary and the alabaster box. Ray Hughes has an amazing message on this, by the way. But what's so sweet to me about that is that box cost her a year's salary. It was a pound of oil. Basically, they're at a home group meeting. Right? They had everybody in there. If you would have walked in there and been a feeler of a personality, you would have not necessarily sensed the awe of God at that moment. There was people waiting outside that wanted to kill Lazarus, you know. She just goes past everybody. She just walked in. And this is a time when women didn't do that. She just walked in. And she had one focus, him. She just had one focus. I mean, Lazarus was probably going to share his testimony. She didn't care about the testimony. She just wanted him. It was one thing. And when she broke that box of oil on his feet, it filled the whole entire room. It had to. It probably went outside. There's no way to break a box of alabaster oil and it not the fragrance, the aroma. It shifted the whole room. And that was at a point where Jesus was not popular. He was not the most popular guy. This was starting to go downhill in a sense. But all she wanted was him. All she wanted to do was pour that out on his feet. When is the last time that all you wanted to do is just pour it out on his feet? It's not necessarily always popular to lay on the floor prostrate before the Lord, but we have a church you can do that in. It's not necessarily always popular to dance like David danced, right? Who cares? What's in your heart? What is in your heart? Are you thinking more about the things that you're going to do for the Lord? Or are you thinking more about the things that you want to have with the Lord? That relational heartbeat. I want to be so close, I can feel his breath on my face. I want to know that. I want to know that. I don't care about record albums, y'all. I don't care. I don't care about the stage. I don't care. I want to touch his heart. When you come into this place, you should come in so full of thanksgiving, not because your circumstances have changed, not because maybe things around you are going perfectly, but because you know the person that you can go to, that you can run to. And just, I have seen 1 minute in his presence change a lifetime for somebody. 1 minute, just 1 minute. You can have that anytime you want to. You don't even have to do it in this house. You can have it in your car. You can have it at home. As a matter of fact, what you do at home is carried in this house. What you do in your secret place is what you will bring here. You don't just come up here and God lands on Danny and he can just sing prophetically. It's because he spends time with him at home. He just brings who he is here and what God has done in his spirit and the transformation that God is working in him. Just like you all bring that transformation of what God is working in you. You all in this house have been chosen for now. You have been brought to a place that you have a father's heart for a pastor. Oh, do not take that lightly. It is a precious thing. I don't take it lightly. I know what it's like to not have that. I would never want to go back and do that without that. I am so grateful. And all of us that are here want more. All of us that are here want more of what he has. We don't want to settle or you wouldn't be sitting here. This church would not even be here if it wasn't for the fact that Tandy and the elders wanted more. They knew God wasn't done with this area. It wasn't about them. It was about what God wanted to do in this place. It was about when the lights got shut off. It doesn't matter. We're still going to clean the church. We're still going to mow the lawn. We're still going to keep it up as best we can because we know that God has something for us. It's that abandoned heart. That's worship, y'all. That's worship. Danielle, if I could have you come up. And there's a song called Closer, and I wanted her to start to sing this song because I just felt like today I was supposed to remind you that we are moving from glory to glory, and he is changing us from the inside out. But the way to do that, y'all, is at his feet. Be abandoned to worship him in a way that you've never done before. I had gone to Bethel for the first time 2 years ago, and I thought I'd seen about everything that there was to see. No, I had not. And when I was there, now I can't even tell you how many times I've kicked myself, but I'm sitting there, and we had Caleb and Kristen with us, and they were very, very accommodating. Caleb needs to read lips sometimes until he's healed. And they put us in, like, the third row so that he could do that. And as we're sitting there, we hadn't been there, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes, this crazy lady was walking around praying for people right around us, and they were falling out all over the place, and I'm talking like laughing, like very demonstrative, right? And to the point where you're like, whoa, I don't know about this. As a matter of fact, they were doing it so much that the chair got pushed back, and one guy ended up in Tim's lap. because, I mean, they were just getting lost in the Holy Spirit. And I think this lady's name was Judy. I'm not exactly sure. Oh, Deborah. That's who it was. It was Deborah. And I didn't know who Deborah was from anybody, but apparently if she prays for you, you're just, you know, in for a big Holy Ghost moment. Well, she had been coming around. She'd been praying for the row, and she saw me, and I saw her, and, dude, I got instantly afraid. I was like, I don't know if I want that because that's kind of crazy, you know. I don't know. I've seen crazy before. I've seen it done wrong before, so I don't know if I'm up for crazy right now, you know, kind of thing. And I'm like, Jesus, please don't let her come over here. 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 She comes over here. She comes over and she lays her hand on my shoulder and she starts to pray. And you know what I do? I do. Oh, thank you. I'm good. Thank you. I'm good. And she walks away. And I instantly felt so grieved in my heart. I have no idea what God wanted to do. Who cared if I ended up laying on the floor? Who cares if I ended up laughing hysterically? Who cares? Who cares? I guarantee you from that night on, though, I wasn't going to miss any. God has so much more, but we put him in our box. She had an alabaster box of oil that she broke open. What box do we have that we need God to break open? What costs you something to worship that way? I want you to truly, truly just let go and let him move. And it's okay if it gets a little emotional. It's okay. You know, we have a tendency to critique what we don't understand. So if somebody gets totally emotional or whatever, that's between them and the Holy Spirit. Well, it's disrespectful in the house of the Lord. You know what? God's a big God. He's been disrespected before. He'll be disrespected again. But I guarantee you, we really don't know what that person's going through that is having that moment with the Father. I had learned this phrase at work, and I thought, oh, it's so good. It says, stay in curiosity. And what they're saying is, instead of prejudging what somebody meant by what they said to you or what they did, stay in curiosity about it because it'll cause you to look at the situation open-minded and different. So if you see things you don't quite understand, but you know somebody's being touched by the Holy Ghost, stay in curiosity. If you see it, and maybe it isn't something that should be happening, it'll get taken care of. It's okay. It's okay. But right now, I just feel like we need to kick the brakes off in our heart and our spirit. And we need to allow him to move again freely and fully in our own life. Sometimes we go to church too much. How about we have an experience with the Father instead? That sounds much more fun to me. Can we stand? I want to read this poem to you. It went through my heart on Wednesday. This was written by our associate pastor, Barbie Laughlin. And it talks about the more. Help me, Lord. My heart is bruised. I'm feeling deep down hurting and used. My mind is reeling and so confused, but I know there must be more. I've walked it, talked it, played the game, called on you no other name. Still circumstances stay the same, but I know there must be more. I'm holding heavy chains of doubt. I lack the strength to see this out. I question what I'm all about, but I know there must be more. I give and give and give some more. Start over where I was from before. My spirit now prostrate on the floor because I know there must be more. Filled too many times to speak. Content spilling from a soulish leak. Always struggling, still no peak. But I know there must be more. What will it take to gain the lost? When will I cease to count the cost? When will you melt this freshly frost? I know there must be more. Rise, oh rise, spirit man. Look to heaven while you can. Living water for a thirsty land. I know there must be more. Hold me to your heart, my king. Take this offering I bring, a song of brokenness I sing. Now I know there must be more. He has so much more for you, and it is just waiting for a heart that wants to push all of the other stuff out of the way, but just Jesus. I've got to find you. I have to find you. I have to find you. It's not even something that it's become more of a want. It's become a need in my spirit. I got to have the more. Father God, I want to go from glory to glory. I want, Father God, for you to be known in the nations. Yes, that's amazing. But more than all of that, I want you. I just want you. I just want you. If that is you this morning, can you come forward? If that is you this morning and you just want him, you just want him. And go ahead, Danielle. I want her to start singing this song and just begin to worship. Just begin to worship. You love him. Tell him how much you want him to be the pursuit of your passions. We just want you. We just want you, Jesus. Jesus, let us release that sound, God. That sound that comes from a heart. A sound that comes from a heart that is broken because they just want you, Father. Broken and poured out. Broken and poured out, Father God. I don't want to bring you something that costs nothing. I want to bring you something that costs me everything, God. I don't care about my pride. I don't care about my future. I just care about you. I just care about you in this moment right now. I just need you because in you I have everything that I need. I have everything that I want. You know, Father God, you know me. Teach me to know you. Teach me to worship you well. Teach me, Father God. Show us, Father God. Let us stay childlike and come with that open heart. We just want you. We just want you. We just want you. We just want you. Oh, so hold me a little closer. Bring me a little deeper. I want to know your heart. You sing it, Daniel.
I want to know your heart. Because your love is so much sweeter than anything I've tasted. I want to know your heart. I want to know your heart. So pull me a little closer and take me a little deeper. I want to know your heart. I want to know your heart. Cause your love is so much sweeter.
With no veil, we all become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus. We are being transfigured into his very image as we move from one brighter level of glory to another. And this glorious transformation comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Father, I pray that over each one in this place, that you reveal your heart, that you open up new things for them, that you come yourself, and that, Lord Jesus, the relationship between the two of you, Father, that them and you, that, Father, it begins to grow so much, Father God, that when they look in the mirror, they see a little more of you and a little more of you and a little more of you and a little more of you, and they love like you, and they have eyes to see more like you. They start to hear things more like you, Father God, because that's why we're here. We're here, Father God, for you. It's really all about you. It is all about you. In my heart today, Father God, just wants to be one, poured out, abandoned. I begin to pray over our church body, Father God, and I thank you that we will begin to just pour ourselves out, Father God. When we come into this place, Father God, we will carry with us what you've been doing all week, and we will begin to pour that through this place so that, Father God, that new sound can begin to come in this room, and that, Father God, our worship shifts and that things begin to change, Father God, because our eyes will be fixed on you. and what you are having and what you are doing, Father God. I thank you for those that are yet to come into this building and to come into this place. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear and be about them. Be about the sheep more than being about ourselves, Father God. I thank you that you are preparing and that you are getting us ready for what you're doing. I thank you for the preparation. I thank you for the preparation. I thank you for the preparation, Father God. I thank you for what you're doing. Now again, I just ask that you bless each heart. Let anything of me fall away, and let anything of you stay and go as seeds deep in the ground, Father God. Bless this day. Bless Larry as he makes his way home. I thank you for renewed strength. I thank you over him right now in Jesus' name. He will not feel empty and drained, but Father, you will refill him as he goes, Father God. I thank you for that. I thank you for Laura. I thank you for complete health over her as well, Father God. I thank you for the strength that you've given them to carry us into what it is, Father God, that you have for this city, what it is that you have for here, Father God. We are honored. We are honored to serve. We are honored to serve, Father God. We thank you and we praise you and we love you. You're dismissed, but if you want to spend some time at the altar, feel free to do that. You don't have to leave. Just feel free to just worship. I love y'all. I want y'all to have an amazing week.
Do the woes.